Good morning, everyone. In the last couple of chapters, we saw Saul approving of the martyrdom of Stephen and arresting Christians and dragging them off to prison. And in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for the letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that he if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that as he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do.' The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank." What an amazing moment. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Can you imagine his heart dropping? And it almost appears to me that at that moment, he had an idea that it was the Lord Jesus talking to him. And for what he was doing and how opposed he was to Christianity and to Jesus, it was a oh my moment. And now Jesus is speaking to him. First he sees the light, and then Jesus is speaking to him. And it's really interesting what Jesus said. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but get up and enter the city." I mean, Jesus just has nothing of it and is going to tell Paul Saul, what he needs to do. And it seems as though, Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen, which is not surprising, right? But this begins one of the grandest transformations of a life in the world. It is incredible. And yet, God does things like this all the time. Yes, maybe not someone who's dragging Christians off to prison who then becomes a missionary, but yet, people like you and me, God does transformative things. We come to faith in him, and he changes us. And how does a man, and we're going to follow the Apostle Paul. That's going to be his new name that he's going to take as a result of this change. And, I'm just still so inspired by this to this day, to see someone so opposed to Christianity now become a grand missionary, traveling the world, persecuted, thrown in prison, shipwrecked, beaten, who continues to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, writes what becomes many books of the Bible, and is ultimately killed for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. The God's power to transform lives is one of the miracles that we witness here and that we get to witness today. And it is inspiring, and we should take it in and we should enjoy it, because this is it's only God can do this kind of life change. It's just a beautiful thing. And the thing is whoever you're listening, whatever your challenge is, whatever your struggle may be, God can transform your life. He can literally turn you 180 degrees in a different direction if you allow him to. Hallelujah. "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" What a great thing to say, by the way, when the Lord speaks to you, "Here I am, Lord." "And the Lord said to him, 'Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas from a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight.'" God is just setting everything up. God has got a plan to transform this guy's life. And You know, if you'll just but notice, you'll see God has had his hand in transforming your life too. You know, I just recall when I was beginning to seek the Lord in the mid-90s, God just kept sending people into my life to point me to him. I mean, my boss was a Christian. There was people in our office that was a Christian. I was selling homes at the time, and I was selling a home for a police officer. Well, he ended up being a Christian and was inviting me to Bible study and invited me to church. It was like God was relentless in sending people into my life to help me to come to know him. And he's done that for you too. I really believe if you just but see it, he's sent people to you to point you to him. And he's doing that for Saul here through Ananias. But Ananias is concerned, rightly so, because of this man's persecution of anyone Christian. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel.'" Isn't that amazing? Go. Ananias had concern, and Jesus said, "Go." And he is a chosen instrument. Isn't that beautiful? A chosen vessel. Someone that I have a plan for to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. It's pretty interesting how God has chosen vessels in a wide variety of areas to reach certain people. It's pretty cool. You know, I hesitate to say this, but I was reading this morning and just happened to catch an article about Kate Perry. If you don't know much about her, she was raised in a Christian home, but kind of turned away from Christianity and went, she's a musician or a singer, famous, and has kind of gone secular, but she still has, you know, there's the Christian roots are still in there. But she hasn't, you know, lived her life or demonstrated it that way. But she was commenting on a guy, and maybe you've heard of him. He's called Jelly Roll. And he's another artist. You might want to look him up. And he is, you know, at least to a guy like me, he, you know, he looks very different than me, right? Jelly Roll, you might imagine he's a really big guy. He's got tattoos everywhere and piercings everywhere. So he's just an interesting dude to look at, but he loves Jesus. Now, I don't know his whole life, but I can tell you he gets in front of a mic and he proclaims things about Jesus and says some really cool things. And Katy Perry was like, "Man, that guy could be my pastor," you know, all tatted up and earrings and piercings and everything else. But I mean, he does seem to, from what I've heard, really love Jesus. And I just think of God's chosen vessels in all different arenas and all different areas and how, you know, sometimes he might raise somebody up to reach people that I would never reach. And it's pretty cool to see that happen. All right. So he's his goal. He's my chosen vessel. He's going to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And indeed, Paul's going to endure a lot of suffering to proclaim the gospel. So Ananias departed. He listened to the Lord, praise God, and entered the house. And after laying his hands on him, on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming." Look at that. He's, you know, he's got it all set up. God set it all up, even told Ananias what happened. "By which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And Saul's going to have this miracle happen to him in conjunction. He's going to get his sight back. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful thing that is, because he really can't start his ministry until he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And it seems as though maybe he's going to be able to, like, the Lord knows he believes. Like, you don't see Saul here, like, coming to faith, like saying, "Hey, I believe in Jesus." But you know what? He probably already fully believed when you take a look at him losing his sight and now having the light on the road. I think he might have just believed right away. And now the Lord is having him accept Jesus and get baptized. I think faith may have come, even though it was a massive change, faith may have come relatively easy for him because of the miracles that were done before him. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. Imagine that for a moment. Scales falling from his eyes. It was like before he was blinded to the things of the gospel, and now he could see. And you know, we're really like that. It really is that way. I mean, there are people right now who are resistant to Jesus, and they have so many defenses put up and such a wall against hearing the gospel that it's like they just can't see it. But you know what? If you just open your eyes, and if you are willing to hear, if you're willing to Shema, hear and listen and obey, if you're willing to really seek Jesus, you'll find him, because he's real and he's a life-changing God. And all that's needed is a real humble heart to turn to seek him. And you can have scales fall from your eyes too and begin to see him for who he really was. And immediately he got baptized. Isn't that amazing? He got baptized right away now. And that's the right thing to do, to come to faith in Jesus, to get baptized in water, to get baptized in spirit. And he took food because he hadn't eaten for a while, and now he was strengthened. Now, for several days, he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus. I mean, he's right away speaking of Jesus now. He's really transformed in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God. All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not he who was in Jerusalem, who destroyed all those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? Yes, this is him. He's been radically changed." But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Isn't this just remarkable? He was coming to drag Christians away from the synagogues and people who were converting, but now he's the one there converting. He's doing exactly the opposite of what he set out to do, but he's actually now doing what God really wanted him to do, and he's proving that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the anointed one of the Old Testament. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who was promised to come, and he has come, and now he's convincing the Jews to trust in Jesus. And ultimately, he'll be really an apostle to the Gentiles, but he had his way in Jews' lives as well. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. Isn't this something? But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. Isn't that something? He is now having to run from the very people he was for just days earlier. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. Like, could he really be changed? What if he wants to arrest us? But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus, and he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And you know what? May that happen in all of us. When you come to Jesus, may you freely speak. If you look up that word bold, it just means to freely speak about Jesus, and that is bold, to not be inhibited, just to open your mouth wide and speak the things of Jesus. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews. That's the ones that really followed more of Greek culture, but were still Jewish. But they were attempting to put him to death. You know, Paul right away, they're after his life. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord. There it is again, the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. The church is increasing. Hallelujah. What an exciting time in the early church. May we have an exciting time today, proclaiming the gospel and seeing lives changed. Hallelujah. Now the scene shifts here to Peter. Now, as Peter was traveling throughout all those regions, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." Immediately he got up, and all who lived at Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Praise God. Another apostolic miracle here, and people coming to the Lord, seeing the miracles of the apostles, in this case, Peter. Now in Joppa, which is by the sea, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. What a wonderful woman. A woman of the Lord, a disciple of the Lord, a servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it happened at that time she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter rose and went with them. That's interesting with what we'll see next chapters. God sends people to send Peter messages. And here, Peter is actually interesting, being set up, because he's learning he can trust when God is sending people, he can trust that God sent them. And that's going to happen again in the next chapter. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. What a lovely woman who used her hands to, you know, make things for those in need. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed. After the faith of just seeing what Jesus has done and how Aeneas was just healed, he knelt down to the body and he said, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. What a glorious moment. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. What an amazing miracle. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. Praise God. Praise God for his miracle working. Praise God for how the church is advancing and growing. Have you, like the Apostle Paul, had your eyes opened? Are you willing to come to him? Have you been water baptized? Have you sensed the Holy Spirit moving in you? Talk to someone about that. Talk to a pastor. Follow through in getting baptized and giving your life to Jesus, because he's a life-transforming God, and he'll change it for the good. Hallelujah. He has mine. He's been doing it for centuries. He's been doing it dramatically. He can change anyone. Don't lose hope for those around you. Freely speak about the gospel and watch what God can do. God bless you all.